That was the Lefevers. All right, welcome to our... Just thought I'd throw that in. Just a goofy thing. It's the way we do it. It's the way we are. All right, so welcome to our pre-show here for Friday. And so far, so good, man. We're making it through the week in swimming fashion. Swimmingly. What can I tell you? You know, we're moving along here in a most interesting way. A lot of things happening. Now, we're going to have a chat tonight. And tonight on our chat, I think I'm going to set a definitive date for HendryCon. Either we do it or we don't. And I don't know what it's going to be. I have no idea what it's going to be. But I think we have to set a definitive fucking date. One of the things that I know you shouldn't do when you're setting dates for things, they tell me don't do shit in around the holidays. So it's either we're going to do it sooner or later. But I think tonight I'm going to have to set a fucking definitive date. All right, on our show today, this is a Friday show, but we're doing this on Thursday, so we're going to be having we're going to be having a show that will be reflective of tonight's we're doing it on the show, last night's speech by Hillary Clinton, and I'm only telling you that because that means that Harvey's got one more moment in the sun there at the convention, and I got to get that Kaylee McEnany character that we did only one time. And I'm going to get that bitch back. Excuse me for saying bitch. I shouldn't say it. I'm going to get that broad back on there. What is this, man? Don't put that fuck... Cut it out, will you, man? You got to keep walking, better be. 73% of priests posting. Favorable opinion of Hillary Clinton only posted 78%. 5% pickup. I don't know what that means. What do you think that means? Means pre-speech, they had a favor, but she picked up 5% after. All right. So these polls are of speech watchers, and they're of people that already are favorably disposed. The same thing. Here's very positive, 57% for Trump. CNN ORC poll of speech watchers. Those 57% of Trump and 71% of Hillary Clinton are speech watchers who watch speeches and also are already fans of the speaker. So Trump, you know, sort of disappointed, I guess, people that dig him. Doesn't mean they're not going to vote for him. Not by a long shot. It just means that they, you know, it's kind of a disappointing speech. All right. You've got to keep walking. Better to keep walking. You better do. If you miss those of you listening to the pre-show, the audio only, if you miss our video cast, you miss just not a lot, but you miss, for instance, to give you an example, sometimes we stop and we have to edit and I swear and I curse and I think, what time is it? And we've had some pretty weird shows where the editing took a long time or I've got to go and... And like, for instance, on the pre-show here, we showed some early gospel music on television just before we got going here. It's no biggie, but... it was pretty goofy. We had the Lefevers on. I'm a Southern gospel fan, seriously. Not the religious part of it, although I'm not putting it down. And I'm not really... I think there's a quality to it. You know, there's a quality to Southern gospel music that is corny. And, I mean, really corny. But the musicality of it, the music itself is really good, man. It's old school. It's old style. It's three chords, four chords, just kind of doom. It's countrified. But it's the harmonies are excellent. The musicianship is excellent. The presentation for the time is, you know, pretty damn good for just live television. I find it to be fascinating as folk music. As a found object in a way. I don't know. I'm not trying to put it down, and I'm not trying to avoid saying I really, really, really love gospel music, because if I did, I'd be happy to tell you that. I don't buy it, nor would I, because I like watching it. And I think part of the enjoyment of Southern gospel music, this kind, is watching. There's a lot of enthusiasm there, you know? There's a lot of just, I don't know, man. All right, let me see where I'm going here. Okay. So in terms of the speech tonight, Hillary Clinton, she had a favorable reaction from people that watch speeches and are Hillary fans. 73%. Trump people that are fans of his and watch speeches, 57%. So they weren't knocked out by his speech. Trump doesn't give great teleprompter speeches, everybody says. You know, everyone knows. He doesn't dig working from the teleprompter, and that's the problem is that they're afraid to let him. He can do anything he wants, you know. He's not going to let anybody tell him, but he does rely on this advice because, frankly, two things. If you don't rely on the advice of professionals who already know you pretty well, they like you, they know you, then why even have them there? Number two, if you don't rely on their advice or take their advice, at some point they're going to quit. And they're going to work for somebody else and just go down the road. And you don't have to like a candidate or agree with the candidate's position to work for them. If you're a professional politico, if you're a professional manager of campaigns, doesn't make a goddamn bit of difference if you're a liberal or a conservative. If you have to feed your family and you have to get a job, you can do everything you can to get your candidate to win. I mean, that has happened. Probably makes it a lot easier if you agree with a guy, but...
goo-goo.
Fuck. You better find... You lied to me. All right, sucker. Let's go, sucker. How you doing, Margaret?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, good. That sounds great. I got to do, I know what I got to do. One more thing. I got to do one more thing. I'm going to line some fucking tunes up here.
You lied to me.
I'm a blind motherfucker, man. God damn it. Blind motherfucker. It's me, man. I'm a blind motherfucker, man. This is Rob Stone. Rob Stone of Mice and Men, Mac Miller. All right. Take a look at the new Wassa. See what we got here, man. Come on, motherfucker. That's what I like to see. Male. Shit. What is all this shit? Terry Hardy. Oh, my God. Jerry Doyle found dead. Good Lord. I'm just now getting this news. By tomorrow, by the time you're watching this, you'll probably already see this. Jerry Doyle, radio host, found dead. Jerry worked for... Talk Radio Network, 60 years of age. He was found unresponsive Wednesday at his Las Vegas home, according to TMZ. No foul play is suspected. An autopsy is pending, along with his Radio 5 show. I'm sorry to hear that. Jerry was a good man. Nice man. Really nice guy. Very shocking. Don't live forever, man. That's a goddamn fact. Let me print this off. I'm really very, very sorry to hear that. That is a... But we all go, man. You know, we all go. We all go, man. You can't, you know... Say, oh, I'm sorry a guy died. I am sorry a guy died, but... We die. You know? You can say, I'm sorry a guy died young. And Jerry at 60, that's young these days. I mean, it's not young, but it's, you don't expect people really to go at 60. I mean, today we are more likely to pass on in our 70s. Maybe even some people make it all the way to 80, 90. I guess you really hope that you make it that long. I don't know. I saw a piece of video that I'll never forget. It was William F. Buckley, of all the people. And William F. Buckley was talking very elderly at this point. I guess it was whenever he died in the 90s. He was very, very, very old. And William F. Buckley lived a long life, man, and he'd been so involved and he was so invested in life. He was one of the major voices, for better or for worse, of America during a certain period politically. And he was talking to Ted Koppel, and he said, I just really want to die at this point. He said this to Koppel. Koppel said, why? He said, I'm tired of living. I'm just tired of being alive. Now, I think his wife had passed on a few years before, so this might have been very recently. He says, I'm tired of being alive. And I remember hearing that, and I'm thinking, is that possible? I mean, not that you're depressed, not that you're mentally ill and unsound and suicidal. I don't mean that. And that's not really where he was at. I mean, he wasn't suicidal. He was just saying, yeah, I'm fucking tired of living, man. And he didn't mean tired of living as I want to kill myself. He was tired of living. I've seen it, been there, done that, man. I've done this shit. How much more shit? You know, what else is there? This is it. If you're kind of like William F. Buckley, I imagine you've probably seen a little bit more of this world than most people. I'm not commenting on the guy's politics or anything. I'm just saying, you know. So you can say, boy, I sure am tired of living. Well, you're going to kill yourself? Well, fuck no, I'm not going to kill myself. I suppose I'll look around some more, you know, but so far life has not really shown me much more, you know? And I think in Buckley's world, there might have been a little depression because he'd lost his wife. She was gone. So I don't imagine, especially living your life as long as you do with one person, and she's gone, man, that's a real fucking, some people make the adjustment, you know, some people do. They move on from one to the next, whatever they got from that person. Some people are surprisingly able to move on, in fact, you know, it's like, okay, I got somebody to take care of me. I don't know. Jerry Doyle, you know, because he truly was, he was a good guy. He was nice to me. And Jerry was a flexible and, he was a multifaceted talent. This was an actor. Jerry Doyle had been on the old show Babylon 5 in his role as Michael Garibaldi. I remember seeing Jerry at a radio function over in that, I don't know where the hell we were, man, Santa Monica, I think. And he was doing business, man. He was, you know, he wasn't playing movies. He wasn't playing TV star, and he was there doing business. He was hustling up business for his radio show. And then I saw him again in New York at the Mike Harrison thing, and we had a couple of laughs. We actually were sitting there during one of the presentations. I was acting like a clown. I was doing this thing where people generally at a podium will say things like, and now a gentleman who we all really love, and I was pretending like I was getting ready to get up and go get the award, and Jerry was laughing at that, which I'm happy to have, you know, made him laugh. Anyway, syndicated talk radio host and actor Jerry Doyle died Wednesday at the age of 60, according to a report on TMZ, distributed by Talk Radio Network. The Jerry Doyle Show aired weekdays from 3 to 6, offering what TRN called solution-based talk radio. Boyle was found unresponsive Wednesday in his Las Vegas home, according to TMZ. No foul play is suspected. An autopsy is pending, along with his radio show. Doyle is best remembered for his role as Michael Garibaldi in the TV show Babylon 5. I am stunned and saddened by the news of Jerry's sudden death, said Mark Masters, CEO of TRN, in a statement. He was a dear friend and a prince of a human being. We've worked together for the last 12 years, and no host was more loyal at my side. Jerry drew on his life experience in Hollywood, on Wall Street, in politics, and in business to bring a unique perspective and insight to the Jerry Doyle Show. He was a soulful, engaging, and fascinating personality, both with his radio audience and with all who worked with him. He will be sorely missed by all of us. The show's producer, America's Talk Network, and TRN will continue to produce and distribute the show to its affiliate stations using guest hosts. Decisions about any changes will be postponed for an appropriate interval to remember and mourn our friend Jerry Doyle. That's very true. Show's producer, America's Talk Network, and TRN. I don't know what in fuck that means. Masters has like 900 fucking companies up there. I don't know what they are. There's TRN, TRN Talk, TRN FM, Talk Radio Network, the original Talk, you know. And I will say that Jerry is to be honored because he did get along with Mark Masters. I don't know how, and I'm not quite sure, you know, how that was done, or if in fact it was true, but I will tell you this, he lasted with that company, I think, pretty much longer than anybody. And I saw him at another Mike Harrison event. I saw him at another Mike Harrison event in Hollywood at the Steve Allen Theater. And it was back in 2013 when Talk Radio Network looked like it was going belly up. A bunch of people got fired. I don't know if people were getting paid. I don't know what the fuck the story was. I ran into Rusty Humphries there. I saw Jerry Doyle there. And Jerry just, he looked a little distracted. But he just, said hi and hustled on in. He didn't, he wasn't the kind of guy. I didn't find a guy to be the kind of guy that would stand around and gossip about the business, you know. He just, I want to get my fucking shit together here. I came here for a reason, to be heard. You know, maybe he was on a panel or something, then he was going to leave. Jerry had me on his show recently when I was on either New Girl or Modern Family. I think I did about 5 minutes with him. That was very, very nice of him to put me on the air. And there you go, man. All right, dudes. Let me check out and see where we're at here. Okay. This is it here. Okay. What are we going to do? I'm going to look and see what I got for my viral news stories. And when I say viral, I do mean DirecTV. Hey, how many fucking times are you people at DirecTV going to send me a fucking bill? I pay my goddamn bills. They're sending me bills on my phone, and they're sending me text messages. What the fuck is the story? Have we not paid our DirecTV bill? You know how it happens every now and again? They'll tell you, oh, you're 30 days. You didn't know you're overdue. You go, what the fuck happened? You know? I mean, I forgot. You know, you'll forget. You think? Or did you? Did they fuck up? No. All of a sudden, because I'm really good at, when I pay my bills, I mean, I don't pay my bills personally. We will. But the bills get paid, and they get paid every fucking month, and we zero out accounts. I don't even fuck with this shit, man. And so it's very unusual, and it's shocking to get a notice from somebody saying, you are 30 days overdue. Go, what the hell are you talking about, 30 days over fucking due? And you'll find out you were like 2 seconds overdue, and then that counts for 30 days or something. What's the point? There's no point. Those of you that don't pay your bills on time, you will never understand the point of view of those of us who do. Lava from Hawaii's Kalua volcano reaches Pacific Ocean. God damn. Here it is, man. Let's see if we can't get you some close-ups on this bitch. Huh? Eh? Hey, sorry. Oh, there you go. Look at that. Where is this goddamn volcano? I suppose I'll read the copy and find out. I think it's the Big Island. Look at this. This is the daytime. See that hot lava coming down the rock there? It's amazing, isn't it? Then it hits the ocean. It just becomes one big steam bath. What is that? What's the water temperature like there, you know? Look at this. People standing right next to that shit. See that? Up here. Amazing. Suppose you were right here, like right, you know, right in the front here. Well away from the... I bet, is the water still boiling? I mean, it would probably boil your fucking flesh off, wouldn't it? Or does it immediately cool? Does the lava cool? What happens? I want to know. See, there's the steam rising up. There's the lava. That's pretty heavy, man. It's all right, you know? It's heavy. I have my... I have a CNN app that I use. I watch live TV on it. Although it was not working for a while there. What's coming up now, if you can believe it, I can't fucking believe it, English Premier League soccer is going to start again in the middle of August. It's wild, isn't it? 25, oh, bullshit, really? God damn it. Give me a fucking break. Believe that, man. Chipotle branching out plans to open burger. Who gives a shit? Is this a, is Chipotle like a big chain? I guess it is. Seems we did some Chipotle news not too long ago. You motherfucker, Henry. You know, I remember when Ross Perot ran for president in 92. And when he lost, he did something that was rather charming. His wife was there on stage with him as he conceded. And the theme song that they used, the Ross Perot theme song throughout his campaign, was the Patsy Cline song, Crazy. Crazy for feeling so lonely, you know, meaning I must be nuts, I'm running for president. And when they conceded, Perot gave a big laugh. He said, like I told you, I'm crazy. Grabbed his wife, they put the song Crazy on, and he starts dancing with her. Now, yeah, you know, did he look goofy? To me, he looked like a guy that's, you know, looked like a guy that said, hey, you know, fuck, you know, what the fuck? What is this, man? What is this, man? What do you mean full screen is disabled? What does that mean?
Hi, I'm James Slag, the CEO of MedWest Distribution, a CO2 medical marijuana company here in California and headquartered in San Diego. Here today talking about the fact that we were raided on January 28th. Our two employees that were there were, you know, immediately put on the floor with guns to their head. And were put in handcuffs and placed in our conference room for approximately 6 hours while they went through and took every computer, laptop, server, product, cash, whatever they could find. So after this raid, all of our assets were frozen, all of our bank accounts, all of my wife's accounts, all of our daughter's accounts, including my 19-year-old daughter's and 16-year-old daughter, their college savings accounts have
been... Okay, that's fine. We'll print this off and talk about it. I don't know what the fuck, man. It's way longer a story than I can deal with right now. We probably won't even deal with it. I can't... All right, Colorado forced to pay child support despite DNA test results. You know, what gets me, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. There are far more motherfuckers not paying their goddamn child support in this world than there are cases of guys who got the wrong DNA and they're not sure and maybe it could be and maybe it isn't. And this kind of shit, you know, this is a fucking game that some of these fucking lawyers play. So the women get stiffed on their fucking child support. I'll tell you one other thing that really blows me away. I don't understand men. And there's a group of men who are always harping on feminism. And they're always harping on women fucking them over. And they've got organizations, men's rights. And it's real weird. It's real fucking weird. There's something happening there where these guys are just... They claim to love women... But they've got these male organizations that demand that women be forevermore, you know, sort of constantly the object of put-downs and the object of political ridicule and the object of their scorn and their fear. And you know what I'm saying? You know who these, you know. And if you don't agree with them, you're some kind of a fucking traitor. And of course, they might even venture into calling you, quote unquote, queer or a fag, something like that, which... I turn around and say, me? Motherfucker, I think you got the guy with the problem. I think you got a fucking manhood problem going on here. I'm not sitting here, you know, obsessing over this shit. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I was married to a woman who had to go to court to fight to get increased child support. Maybe it's because I've just seen... women down through the years have to deal with this shit. I don't know. I don't fucking know. But, you know, feminism. There are a few people that I follow on Twitter who are constantly having to do battle with fucking men, you know. All right, man, I'm all fucking done.
Ow. I hurt myself.
What time is it, man? How much behind the fucking gun am I on this motherfucker? 34? All right, here we go. I have no fucking idea. I know I gotta tackle some shit tomorrow, man. I got a lot of shit I gotta tackle tomorrow. Okay. That's cool. That's all right, man. You know. Ready?